ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Canto 5, Chapter 19, Text 24 Nayatra Vaikuntha Katha Sudhapaka
Nayatra Vaikuntha Katha Sudhapaka
Nasadhavo Bhagavatas Tadarshaya
Nasadhavo Bhagavatas Tadarshaya
Nayatra Yagyesha Makha Mahotsava
Nayatra Yagyesha Makha Mahotsava
Suresha loko pi navai sa sevyatam
Suresha loko pi navai sa sevyatam
Nayatra vaikuntha katha sudha paga
Nayatra vaikuntha katha sudha paga
Nasadhavo bhagavatas pradashraya
Nasadhavo bhagavatas pradashraya
Nayatra yagyesha makha mahotsava Suresha loko pi navai sa sevyatam
Suresha loko pi navai sa sevyatam
Na,
na.
Not
na.
Yatra.
Yatra
Where?
Where?
Vaikuntha katha sudha abhaka
Vaikuntha katha sudha abhaka
The nectarian rivers Of discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
of discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
who is called Vaikuntha,
who is called Vaikuntha,
or one who drives away all anxiety,
or one who drives away all anxiety,
na,
na
nor,
na.
Sadavaha,
devotees,
Bhagavata,
Bhagavata,
always engaged in the service of the Lord. Tat ashraya, who are sheltered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Who are sheltered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Na,
nor,
yatra, where, yagya isha makha, the performance of devotional service to the Lord of Sacrifices.
To the Lord of Sacrifices.
Maha utsava. Which are actual festivals.
Which are actual festivals.
Suresha Lokaha. A place inhabited by the denizens of heaven.
A place inhabited by the denizens of heaven.
Api.
Although.
Na.
Not.
Vai.
Certainly.
Saha.
That.
Sevyatam. Be frequented. Translation. An intelligent person does not take interest in a place, even in the topmost planetary system, if the pure Ganges of topics concerning the Supreme Lord's activities does not flow there, and if there are not devotees engaged in the service on the banks of such a river of piety, or if there are no festivals of Sankirtan Yajna to satisfy the Lord, Prabhupada puts in brackets, especially since the Sankirtan Yajna is recommended in this age. That was an extra credit, his editorial license. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the land of Bharatvarsha, specifically in Bengal, in the district of Nadia, where Navadvipa is situated. It is therefore to be concluded, as stated by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that within this universe, this earth is the best planet, and on this planet, the land of Bharatvarsha is the best. In the land of Bharatvarsha, Bengal is still better. Any Bengalis here? In Bengal, the district of Nadia is still better. And in Nadia, the best place is Navadvip because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared there to inaugurate the performance of the sacrifice of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the Shastras recommend Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yajyai Sankirtana Prayayar Yajantihi Sumedasaha. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always accompanied by his very confidential associates, such as Sri Nityananda, Sri Gadadhar, and Sri Advaita, and by many devotees like Srivas. They are always engaged in chanting the name of the Lord and are always describing Lord Krishna. Therefore, this is the best amongst all the places in the universe. The Krishna Consciousness Movement has established its center in Mayapur, the birth site of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to give men the great opportunity to go there and perform a constant festival of Sankirtan Yajna as recommended herein. In the third line, Yajnesha Maka Mahotsava, and to distribute prasad to millions of hungry people hankering for spiritual emancipation. This is the mission of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Chaitanya Bhagavat confirms this as follows, quote, "One should not desire to be elevated even to a place in the heavenly planetary systems if it has no propaganda to expand the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No trace of Vaishnavas, pure devotees of the Lord, and no festivals for spreading Krishna consciousness. It would be better to live perpetually cramped within the airtight bag of a mother's womb, where one can at least remember the lotus feet of the Lord, than to live in a place where there is no opportunity to remember his lotus feet. I pray not to be allowed to take birth in such a condemned place." Vrindavan Das Thakur Ki Jai. Similarly, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says that since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the inaugurator of the Sankirtan movement, anyone who performs Sankirtan to please the Lord is very, very glorious. Such a person has perfect intelligence, whereas others who are in the ignorance of material existence. Of all the sacrifices mentioned in the Vedic literatures, the performance of Sankirtan Yajna is the best. Even the performance of 100 Ashvamedha sacrifices cannot compare to the sacrifice of Sankirtan. According to the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, if one compares Sankirtan Yajna to other yajnas, he is a pashandi, an infidel, nice Arabic term, and is liable to be punished by Yamaraj. There are many Mayavadis who think that the performance of Sankirtan Yajna is a pious activity similar to the performance of the Ashvamedha Yajna and other such pious functions, but this is Nam Aparad. Chanting the holy name of Narayana and the chanting of other names are never equal, despite what Mayavadis think. End of purport. Prabhupada's pretty fired up, huh? Infidel. Na yatra vaikuntha katha sudha paga nasadavo bhagavatas tradarshaya na yatra yagyesha makha mahotsava suresha lokopi navai sa sevyatam. An intelligent person does not take interest in a place even in the topmost planetary system if the pure Ganges of topics concerning the Supreme Lord's activities does not flow there. If there are no devotees engaged in service on the banks of such a river of piety, or if there are no festivals of Sankirtan Yajna to satisfy the Lord. This is the island of Jambudvip, that's the title of the chapter. And one section of the chapter is Narada Muni, who descended on earth to instruct a particular Manu, one of the 14 Manus, Sarvani Manu, where Narada is describing to Sarvani Manu the glories of Jambudvip and specifically Bharat Varsha, that portion of Jambudvip that is most glorious. And that's why these references are made in the purport to Bharat Varsha. What makes a place meritorious or of value? Kriti is the term for merit. Sukriti, very meritorious. It's Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness is established by sacrifice. In our age, Sankirtan Yajna. There's a nice, very important verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna explains the principle of sacrifice. There are several places, several sections, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 7. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is emphasizing, elaborating on what sacrifice is. So chapter 4 is a strong verse. It's the principle of sacrifice. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir, brahmagnau brahmanahutam, brahmaiva tena gantavyam. Brahma is repeated over and over again because that means spiritual or transcendental, or how to make this place other than a dungeon, a prison house. Going back to the third chapter, Krishna makes it very clear, this spirit soul that I spoke about in the chapter 2, it's difficult for that spirit soul, it's difficult for us to exist in an atmosphere that's foreign to us. We're spirit soul, and we're in a material atmosphere. Like the reverse, the fish that's out of water, or the soul that's in an atmosphere that's not spiritual. In any direction, up, down, sideways, left, right, we're in a sea, an ocean of material energy. And it's not fitting for us to be here. It's an unnatural, it's an unhealthy place. It's a toxic place. We don't belong here. But try to get out. What do you do? Because as soon as you do something, even pious activity something, there's a reaction. There's bondage. You do and there's a reaction. So you do and it's a problem. And you don't do, you can't don't do, because the souls are active. So it's damned if you do and damned if you don't. What do you do? So the principle is then presented, chapter 3, of sacrifice. And in the principle, the preliminary principle, or the application of that, is offering the fruits of your work in sacrifice to Vishnu. And that way, the work is not binding. And you get out of the damned if you do and damned if you don't syndrome. It's you do with the sacrifice going to Vishnu, or the fruits of your activity, prescribed activity, going to Vishnu. Then in chapter 4, the principle of sacrifice is again visited by Krishna. where this verse is spoken, that in the verse that's spoken, the act itself is non-binding, it's spiritual in sacrifice. The performer is spiritual. The place becomes spiritualized. The implements that are used are spiritual. The offering, the act itself is spiritual. The person sponsoring this is spiritual, it's spiritualized. It's how to transform this material atmosphere to a spiritual atmosphere. By the act of sacrifice. And then there's seven, eight verses following that that say some do it this way, some do it that way, the other way. But the principle of sacrifice is taking that which is of this world and elevating it to contact with the Supreme by the principle of sacrifice. And then again, the seventh chapter, Mahatmanastamam Partha, Daivin Prakritam Ashrita, verses there. And, you know, some do it this way, some do it that way. Similar. There's the topmost position, and then there's those that have an inkling of the principle, but they're not fully surrendered to Krishna yet, so they apply the principle in some other way. But ultimately, those other ways are meant. Whatever elevating injunction is provided within the Vedas, that principle is connect with the Supreme through sacrifice. And fast forward to Kali Yuga, and it's very difficult. Not only we're in the material atmosphere, but everything is rapidly going down. Manda sumanda matyo manda bhagya hipartrita. Very, very difficult. So, in this very, the picture is clear, in this very unfortunate place and unfortunate circumstance and unfortunate time, there's something very glorious. And something that's very glorious is the performance of Yajna, and for this age, the Sankirtan Yajna. That's Prabhupada's embellishment, literally, because what's being spoken is Yajnesha Makha Mahotsava. Yajnesha, Yajna Isha Makha. Makha is a term that it's a particular type of Yajna, particular type of sacrifice. The usual use of that term, makha, has to do with demigod worship or rituals that a purohit, a performer of religious functions does, makha. And one has to be very qualified to do those. But when there's festivals where the glorification of the personality of Godhead is going on directly, not the indirectly kind, but the directly kind. And he who is the Isha of those sacrifices, of any sacrifice, just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yajnatapasam. You know that verse? Bhoktaram Yagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. What's the rest? Suradam Sarvabhutanam Yatvamam Shantim Ritschati. That's your Bhagavad Gita exam for the morning. Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam. He's the Bhokta. The peace formula is Shant Yatvamam Shantim Ritschati. One can be situated in peace, if one can understand who the real bhokta, the enjoyer of all yajnas, are, or is. That enjoyer, same as the Isha of all yajñas. And the way the translation runs, because it's Yagyesha Maka, Yagya Isha Maka, he's the Lord of all sacrifices. That's Prabhupada presented here. The performance of devotional service to the Lord of sacrifices. And the performance of devotional service to the Lord of sacrifices takes place where there's this river. He's called it the Ganges. The river of sound vibration, of constant, so rivers don't intermittent. Flow and then stop, dry up, and then flow and then dry up. It's constant flow. The river, that's the image. It's poetic. The flow, the river-like flow of Vaikuntha Katha, topics about Krishna. Just this past weekend I was in Seattle and we had a little mini japa retreat. And boy, it was nice. I mean, one of the things that was especially nice was just constant discussing about the holy name and chanting the holy name, just chanting all day long. Just constant. And for some people that attended, it was their first time doing anything like this. Some persons had never chanted, some persons three rounds was the most they'd ever chanted, and they ended up chanting 64 rounds. You know, a 7-year-old boy chanted 64 rounds, and his 9-year-old brother chanted 64 rounds, and it was a river of sound vibration. It just was very captivating and moving and nice. So where that goes on, that the Vaikuntha Katha, by that river, apaga, shuddha apaga, the river of that sound vibration. There's other types of devotional service, but those other types of devotional service that are done, they're connected to the river. The string, Jiva Goswami explains this in Bhakti Sandarbha, that each of the 9 processes of bhakti, amongst them one is most important. And he gives a scriptural reference, but it's while any one of the processes, we know this from Rupa Goswami's teaching, any one of the processes is sufficient to deliver perfection, any one of those processes must be connected with chanting. He gives his arguments and his scriptural references. It's the chanting of the holy name. That's the river, Vaikuntha. Katha, Sudha, Paga. And by the bank of the river is other processes of devotional service. For their efficacy, to bring one to the stage of perfection, the chanting of the holy name must also be there. And you can, you know, whatever it is, prayer, deity worship, remembrance of Krishna. Just like in this chapter, earlier in this chapter, there's this Kim Purusha Varsha, one part of the Jambudweep, where Hanuman and others who are in Ramchandra bhakti, they love glorifying Ramchandra. But Hanuman is known for his service, but his service is the glorification of the personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra. You're not going to find a servant that isn't glorified in each of the other processes. So our Hare Krishna movement is based upon that foundation, the chanting of Krishna's holy name. And all the other services that we do have that as the foundation for them. The efficacy of them comes from the chanting of the holy name. They flow from the holy name. So it's the river that gives nourishment to the life. Without the river, you don't have the sustenance that can supply and support life. We need that river. Constant, ideal is constant flow of Krishna Katha. At least Srinkatasva Katha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. The regular Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Regularly hearing and regularly serving the message of the Bhagavatam and those who are delivering the message of the Bhagavatam. And if we, as a community of devotees, we discuss Krishna Katha together, each one of such persons who speaks Krishna Katha in our community, shares in our dialogues with one another some topics in relation to Krishna, that's the river. Let us be generators of and participants in such a river. So it's stated in reverse. The verse is, I don't want to have anything to do with a place that doesn't have that. It could be, you know, very high in the cosmos, heavenly planets or wherever. Not at all interested if that river of Krishna Katha is absent. Or the rendering of devotional service by the devotees along the banks of such a river of Krishna Katha. And festivals where the glorification of the holy name, because that's the sacrifice for this age, other festivals, fine. But just like this is the disappearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I was asked to speak on the verse this morning and Bhaktivinoda Thakur this evening. And, you know, the devotional service that we do in the course of the day should be with remembrance of and speaking of and so forth, the topics of Krishna and our chanting of our japa and so on, the worship of the deity and glorification through sound, as well as the activity of deity worship. In this way, festivals. The Hare Krishna movement is filled with festivals. Especially if you're a sannyasi, you just go from one festival to another. It's fantastic. I invite you all. Take up the life of dedication to propagating the glories of Krishna. You had this fantastic festival over the Memorial Day weekend here in Austin, Texas, right? Hours and hours and hours of ecstatic kirtan. You're probably still resonating from that wonderful time spent together. So there's Mahotsava, Maha Utsava, there's spikes in the flowing of the river of Vaikuntha Katha or Krishna Katha, and the opportunities to do varieties of service in relation to those festivals and the festivals of daily deity worship and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Kirtan and so on. Our attraction should be to that. That's the message. And because Narada is speaking about the glories of Bharatvarsha, Prabhupada is taking the opportunity to glorify Lord Chaitanya and the place where Lord Chaitanya appeared in Bharatvarsha and what activity takes place in that place of Lord Chaitanya's appearance, Sankirtan Festival. Along with just a quick mentioned about that, Prabhupada's interest in what he wanted Mayapur to be, because I'm one of the services that I have is on behalf of the executive committee. I have this hat that says special duty officer of the executive committee for Mayapur. So I'll be going this summer again to Mayapur for a meeting amongst the Mayapur GBCs, and certainly one of the things that we're going to be speaking about is the Temple of Vedic Planetarium, and it's edging towards completion. The projection about a year ago was that the deities would be moved by the year 2014. Now that's being delayed a little bit, not quite like what's happening here in Houston, but it's being delayed a little bit. And some arrangements have to be made. All those shops that are on the inside of the boundary wall, they have to move because they need that for that access for part of what the plan is, and the landscaping and so many things, where the shoes are kept, where the electricity power generation area is. It's all got to move, bringing in a new power station. We go and just have a nice time in festivals, and there's all this infrastructure that has to go on that I don't know anything about, but I'm learning about. And then there's the master plan, and so of how we're going to take care of all the people that come, and the people that want to live there, and medical care and sewage, and it's yada yada yada. It's really a lot of stuff. So Prabhupada wanted, aside from that, the practical things, what Prabhupada wanted, this temple of Vedic Planetarium, not just the biggest temple in all of North India, but specifically the planetarium, so that Western people, scholars and people that would like to know something about the Vedic picture of cosmology, that there's a planetarium that's high-tech planetarium, and people from all over the world would come. Why? Two things. Appreciate, wow, this Vedic wisdom that some scholars say is mythology. Look at all this presentation that comes from mythology, and just how closely this picture of cosmology matches what the picture of present-day cosmology is. It's amazing. And so appreciation for the Srimad Bhagavatam, in short, appreciation for the merit, the empirical merit, the wisdom of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the foundation for our Hare Krishna movement and Gaudiya Vaishnav culture. But another is to bring so many people to Mayapur so they can get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. People that wouldn't otherwise get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, you wouldn't bother. Why go to this remote place in the paddy fields of West Bengal? To get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So to get them to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Panchatattva, Radha Madhava, Sringadev, Sankirtan. It's already Mayapur, statistically, this was at the turn of the century, so it's been some time since then, but the number two visited place of pilgrimage in all of India was Mayapur. It's going to soon be number one when this thing is finished. And that means a lot of service. Anybody who wants to do a lot of service, that's a nice place to do it. But it also means Lord Chaitanya's mercy flowing from this purport, the best of all places in the universe, according to what's being described here in Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur. First, the negative one should not desire to be elevated even to a place in the heavenly planetary systems that has no propaganda to expand the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, that's the... This is very similar to this present verse. But... The process of Sankirtan and the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes Navadvipa a very special place. And one shouldn't consider that very special place to be like any other very special place, any more than the Sankirtan Yajna should be compared to any other kind of yajna. To think of it, to think of Sankirtan, or to think of the chanting of the holy name as a karmakanda ritual, as we know, that's one of the 10 offenses, and there are those that say that's what it is. Very nice, keep chanting, you'll become purified. And then one day, you'll be born in India and in a Brahmin family, and you can take darshan of the deity. We heard the pandas and the first time I visited Jagannath Puri, that's the message we got. It was years before ISKCON had really grown to its present stage. But we were doing Sankirtan in front of the Jagannath temple. And they came out, the pandas came out with their arms across their chest and nodding, saying, keep chanting. Maybe several lifetimes from now you'll take birth in India and then you can come and take darshan of the deity. Keep chanting. Do your ritual. Anyway. From our perspective, thinking, our thinking, and or others' thinking, of the holy name as something that increases piety, that's the purpose of it, that's the fruit of it. That's offensive. That's not the purpose of it. That's not what it is. It's direct connection with the personality of Godhead. Or he ends by saying another namaparad is chanting, thinking that chanting the name of Narayan or any other names are equal. That because of its unique position, Mayapur, or temples or places where the chanting of the holy name is enacted, makes it very special. I remember, I'll just end with this. I remember one time Prabhupada was visiting Detroit and they had been renting a place and then they finally got a place that they bought and Prabhupada visited and it's not the present Fisher Mansion, it was another place. And Prabhupada was speaking, it was in a residential neighborhood, big residential house. And Prabhupada said, why do we call this a temple? Because all around the neighborhood we call them houses. We call it a temple because here's a place where Krishna's at the center and Krishna's worship is taking place and the glorification of the holy name is going on. Therefore we call it a temple. And factually we can make... He actually expressed he wanted that every home becomes a temple, a place where Krishna is worshipped, a place where Krishna is glorified, a place where things are done in relation to Krishna. This makes it very, very wonderful. It takes things that are on the physical, mundane plane and elevates them to the transcendental plane through this process. Krishna Katha. And devotional service connected with the propagation of Krishna Katha. You shouldn't desire residence anywhere else where that is not going on because it's opulent or something like that. No interest from a devotional perspective. Okay, Hare Krishna. Any discussion? Yes?
Regarding the temple of Vedic planetarium.
Yeah.
Did you say that the information, the empiric information in the Bhagavatam is very similar to modern science?
Mm, I said the other way around. The modern science is getting closer and closer to the at least the empiric, you know, the size of planets and the distances of planets and those kinds of things. For example, the sun. How big is the sun compared to the earth? Or the heliocentric, geocentric model. Copernicus made a revolution because previously cosmology was geocentric because it was Vedic. And then Copernicus came up with this bright idea, everything's moving around the sun, so heliocentric. And then he, using telescopes, came up with how big the sun is. And it was a revolution in the world, heliocentric. But, you know, people bought into it. But the number was off huge, like 100 plus times off. And then telescopes got better and better and better, and now it's much more approximate to what the Vedic picture is, of how big the sun is, and the distance between the earth and the sun. So it's getting closer to the Vedic picture. Now, heliocentric versus geocentric is, that's another thing, that's relative motion. I could go through that one if you want, but it's just a different perspective on the same thing. So their model, the modern cosmology picture is, at least within our solar system, is the sun is at the center. And the Vedic model certainly takes into account the sun is, the planets are moving around the sun, but the calculations are from the point of perception, the earth. So the relative motion is accordingly. Just different math formulas and you plug in the numbers and it comes out. I'm doing a quick version because it's a long subject. You're not very satisfied, I'm sorry. Anyone else? Yes.
Maharaj, you're talking about the preeminence of kirtan.
Yes.
And I believe it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where the Lord Chaitanya is asked what's the most important process, and he says,
yes.
Chanting.
Yes.
There's a number of places where Prabhupada, he really emphasizes hearing, and we were just listening to Gauri Jambu at a seminar, and Prabhupada was especially saying Shravakam is the most important, because they're just two sides of the same coin. You can't have hearing without kirtan, but
right.
It seems like Prabhupada didn't, or he very much emphasized hearing. Not that he didn't emphasize kirtan, but it seems like he really emphasized hearing as
well,
the most important of the nine points.
But you gave the answer.
Embedded within
your question, because there isn't hearing without vibrating something. So before you can hear, there's vibration. So we're in the student phase, and the student is hearing, shravanam, and hearing the teacher vibrate. But the Brahminical, just from the other perspective, Brahminical culture is most important. You have to have qualified brahmanas that are going to vibrate the right kind of sounds that your hearing is going to be effective. From the Vedic culture perspective, the Brahminical position is most important. The vibrator of sounds. So, you're not going to have, so to say, you, with all the nine processes, there must be chanting to make them effective. So chanting doesn't just mean kirtan. It can mean many things. Japa, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, having discussions with one another. Making sound vibration is the... Yes.
I was just wondering, when Prabhupada says that here...
Says which?
Hearing?
Yeah.
Does he say hearing, or is it that he says hearing from advanced devotees?
Well, it's implied. Hearing birds chirp in the morning, you know. Hear the train go by so many hours a day, so many times a day. You're here, we're hearing something. You're hearing the air conditioning unit doing, making this noise.
No, like if I'm reading, I'm hearing. But then there's the difference, right? If I'm hearing, if I go, if a, you know, if an advanced devotee comes and I come to the temple to hear him.
Yes.
It's quite a difference.
So you're making a statement. What's, where are we going with this? Is it a,
well, I was,
what you're pondering?
Say like chanting, everybody chants, but you, if you say hearing, I mean, just in my mind, I was thinking that, you know, shouldn't you say hearing from advanced devotees?
Okay, well, I already addressed that. It's implied.
Yeah.
There's no point in hearing otherwise, unless the vibrating source is right. Something else. Yes?
I know you will be speaking this evening for Bhaktivinoda Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance day.
I was asked to do that.
But would you like to share anything? I don't know if everybody will be able to make it here, but
Here's one thing. Just a quick capsule. One morning walk in Mayapur. Prabhupada was in a mood of glorifying Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And once he entered into that mood, it was an eruption. He just kept glorifying and glorifying and glorifying and glorifying and glorifying. Many different, you know, what he had done, how many books he wrote, the capacity of devotional service, the types of people that he influenced, the attainment of bhakti in his life, and the vision of the Hare Krishna, you know, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, although at that time Lord Chaitanya was completely obscured, unknown to the people of the world. So but he had the vision, and he inspired his son, and he just was going on and on like that. And when there was a little break, somebody said, Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda had such capacity and such vision, and, you know, why didn't he spread Krishna consciousness worldwide? And Prabhupada was paused and said, he left something for us to do. Jai. And then I was thinking, and Prabhupada did that, then he left something for us to do, his disciples. One of the things he left for us to do was complete the temple of Vedic Planetarium. I was very specific. Because he was describing, in that morning walk, that the bringing people, he had this vision that people from all over the world, different countries, would come together and sing Jai Sachi Nandana together. And it has happened. Now, Prabhupada wasn't saying, I did it, but he was saying it was his vision. But then part of Prabhupada's vision was to bring more people. And he had a method of how he wanted to do that. Aside from accommodation of Western standards so people could be comfortable and not feel inconvenienced in the holy dham, and then take part in a peaceful way in the Sankirtan, congregational chanting and discussion on devotional topics, but to bring masses of people to the Temple of Vedic Planetarium. That was part of it. So he left that for us to do. And how wonderful that Ambarish Prabhu was so many years of trying to pull it together, it's happening. I was with somebody over the New York Ratha Yatra weekend who wishes to have themselves be not known who they are, but they're so inspired by this, they're committing large sums of money to specifically to the planetarium, because what Ambarish is doing is he's building the superstructure up to the point where, you know, with his funds and his fundraising, up to the point where the deities can then be moved and be worshipped. And then there's all the rest, the other $30 million that will do the planetarium part. You know, the design is still going on, but it's going to, so many things are going to cost so much money. And when all of that is completed, however long, he's made this very clear in presentations to the GBC, large temples look historically, and they sometimes take 30 years, they sometimes take 50 years, they sometimes take 100 years to complete. So he's not promising it'll be done, you know, quickly. But get it up and you know, but because it's so wonderful and glorious, persons are coming forward who wish to see it happen in its completed perspective. Just thinking about it is mind-boggling, what to speak of, preparing for it. It's like, I don't know what it's like. It's like 10 times a Janmashtami festival every day. What to speak of Janmashtami? The number of people and the cooking and accommodating everybody's everything and their, all their questions and security, and it's mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. It's huge. But it's part of Prabhupada's vision. So his servitors have to roll up their sleeves and somehow help make it happen. Okay, I'm going to end there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.